Hey idiots, I'm Jessica Michelle Singleton. I'm a stand-up comedian, and I'm also an idiot sometimes. Aren't we all? If you love to laugh as much as you love to learn about new people, I have a podcast for you called Hey Idiots. It's 50% hilarity, 50% curiosity, and 100% insanity. My guests include experts in their field, sometimes just other stand-up comedian friends, and occasionally absolutely insane people who have somehow convinced me they're knowledgeable about a topic. If you're into expanding your mind or just laughing out loud, check out the Hey Idiots podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
And welcome. This is Edging. I'm Bridget.
I'm Brooke.
I'm Ian.
And we have a very special guest with us today.
Oh, is that where I sing I am?
I don't think any of us decided who was going to introduce you.
Yeah, I looked over at Ian and I was
I can introduce myself. Like, it's okay. I have a lot of practice. Hello, I'm introducing me. I'm Shelby Novak from the Bloody Disgusting podcast and the Scare You to Sleep podcast. Hello, that's
Shelby. Woo! It's great to have Shelby on another show of ours. It's so exciting. We're glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'm so excited. I feel like I'm very folded into the imaginary comma family, especially now.
You're basically a part of the company.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I've been your pod girlfriend for years. So, I mean, yeah. I should be on the new show.
I didn't know if we were still going with that joke. So I'm glad that we are. All right.
We are more than ever now, honestly, because I actually am single now. So,
well, not really, because you're dating us. So
that's true. You know, I can't tell people that. I've been cheating on you a little bit. I hope that's okay.
That's fine. No. That's fine. This is an
we're glad to hear it.
We're like a podlicule.
Yeah.
A podlicule. Oh my God. That's out there somewhere. You know
that.
Yeah,
I'm sure it is.
It is.
We need to trademark that merch like immediately.
Yeah. Podlicule.
Before this episode goes up, trademark.
And if you've been listening to Edging, but not 13 or Olive Hill, which we understand. Glad to have new listeners. I almost said viewers. Ugh. But we have talked about Shelby before because Shelby is actually one of the three people who solved what happened to JFK.
Right.
I am.
A few episodes ago, we mentioned it. We met up with Shelby at a conference in Dallas, and we decided to go to the JFK assassination site.
On a date.
We figured it out. We got to the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. We hunted around there, and we know exactly what happened. And that is still available on Patreon if you'd like to find out what happened to JFK. What the conspiracy was all about. You can find it there for only $5 a month, I believe.
Yeah. I loved the part where we all walked around with really big, what are those? Oh my God. Not microphones.
Magnifying glasses. Yeah.
Magnifying glasses. Yeah.
Shelby had an Inspector Gadget hat, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't know any other detectives.
Sherlock Holmes.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was Brooke. I was just letting my bare head bake in the sun in Texas, but that's okay.
Could have had the pea coat like Nancy Drew.
I was trying to remember Nancy Drew and then Harriet the Spy.
It was far too hot Harriet for that spy. In August in Dallas.
Yeah. Oh, that is true.
It was.
I forgot it was August.
It was so hot. Oh God, it was miserable.
God. It was so hot. And all the crickets everywhere.
Oh my God.
It was it felt like apocalyptic. There were bugs on the walls.
It was horrifying.
It was a locust plague.
Yes. Yeah.
And what was it? We were like three blocks away from the conference center, right? And we walked at like 8 a.m. and it felt like it doesn't get cold in Kentucky, and it felt miserable hot at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. It was a completely different level.
It really was. And I'm from like a dry heat in Southern California. So the humidity, I was like, it felt like walking in soup. And then there were crickets everywhere. And I was like, where even are we?
Now,
like,
not to defend Dallas, because that's not, you know, no offense if you live in Dallas, except like, you know, like a little bit.
We have a couple of Dallas people that we like, but they're exempted. But everyone else lives in Dallas.
It did flood on our way there.
Oh, that's right.
So the dam may have been like slightly more than normal as there were washed up cars as we were driving.
I forgot about the flooding.
I really did. Wow. We weren't sure if we could get to our Airbnb, right?
Yeah, but we were like, we'll just obviously go for it and see what happens. And mm-hmm. it ended up that we didn't have any problems.
Yeah, I think the worst stuff was like the day before, thank goodness. But mm-hmm. That was a fun trip. We should meet up at another conference sometime.
We should, for
we
sure.
We really should.
Or just
we should.
For any reason.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess we don't really need a conference around it to meet up at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've been dating for years at this point.
It's true.
We really have. For our next anniversary, we should really meet up.
How did we meet?
Because I was a big fan of Olive Hill, and I reached out to you guys.
Did you reach out to us?
I don't remember. I talked about Olive Hill maybe on my show. Maybe it was kind of a both thing. I don't remember, but I was obsessed with Olive Hill. I was a huge fan of it. And I was like, holy shit, these people are awesome. And somehow that came to us meeting. I don't remember who reached out to who.
I had been listening to Scare You to Sleep for about, I think I started when I was while I was writing Olive Hill, or maybe a little bit after, maybe when we were recording. Mm-hmm. And when we started doing 13, I remember thinking that I've got this character for our second ever episode, and it's like such a long shot. Like, she's probably busy, probably like going to tell us to get fucked. But let's just ask. And you wrote back and you're like, holy shit, I would love to. And yeah. Oh, it was so exciting. What was that?
That's what it was, because I was like, oh my God, the Olive Hill people know who I am. Oh my God. It was very exciting. Yeah.
We had like 1,000 downloads at that point, probably. Yeah.
I was your biggest fan. The first time, Brooke, I heard you like speak to me. I was like, oh my God, it's her voice. Like, it was crazy.
I don't think I knew that, or I forgot that, because I've just always been like, man, it's so cool that Shelby is slumming it with us.
Maybe I didn't tell you because I was so intimidated and such a fan that I was like, yeah, it's cool. We're just like fellow contemporary pod people. It's fine. Like, I'm not like obsessed with you guys and the story you wrote. It's cool. It's cool.
Like most successful relationships, I think that this is how they all start.
Yeah. Did we have like...
Oh, definitely.
Did we have a mutual parasocial thing that just happened?
I think so.
We did. That's really funny.
Yeah.
What was that word?
Kismet?
I don't know. Kismet.
I don't know how to pronounce anything. That's, okay.
Yeah. Well, before we get started, where can people find your shows, Shelby?
Oh, yeah. But you can find both shows, Bloody Disgusting Podcast and Scare You to Sleep, wherever you get your podcasts. The Bloody Disgusting Podcast also has video that's available on Spotify. But everywhere you get your podcasts, you can find them on social media at Scare You to Sleep or at Be Disgusting Pod or at Shelby B. Novak if you want to follow me personally. That's so much. That's so many things. So many things to say.
You got a lot going on.
Yeah.
And we love it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Should we jump in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, if you are listening, if this is the first time you've ever listened to us, welcome. But we are a podcast that's basically a bunch of friends giving each other book reports.
The worst part of high school. We're just recreating for ourselves.
Yeah.
My favorite part of high school, honestly.
I was just about to say, I loved it.
I was making a joke, but I really did love it, too.
Yeah.
All right. I've got a book this time. So I want to talk a little bit about... So, like, okay, after I finished this book, I was really perplexed, right? And we're gonna jump in with some content warnings and some stuff. But I was really perplexed because I'd heard of this author before, and I hadn't heard of them being, like, particularly controversial or anything like that. I kind of associated the name with like airport books, which are great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not everything has to be a life-changing big thing. Sometimes a story is just a story, right? It's mm-hmm. great.
Absolutely.
So, was this an airport book for you?
No, it wasn't.
Ian went on his first flight here
we
recently.
Have to tell everyone that.
It does feel important.
Ian, no way. Are you serious? That's
I am
huge.
Serious. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
I went on a work That's trip amazing. To Pennsylvania.
I'm so excited for you.
Yeah. That's-
Oh my God.
I was nervous. I've always been like, I really don't like heights. Like the idea of like an airplane crashing doesn't scare me. But the idea of like looking out a window and having a panic attack because I'm high up does, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what's always just worried me. And I went to the doctor for like unrelated reasons. And I knew that this was going to be a thing that was happening with my day job. So I was like, hey, I'm going to start flying for work soon. Can I like get a little Xanax prescription just to take the edge off of the first few? And he was like, yeah, sure. And he gave me a Xanax prescription. And holy shit, is that stuff a miracle drug? because, you know, I took it and it was fine. The first flight was all right. And we went to Charlotte, which is like a big East Coast connection airport. And then I flew up to Pennsylvania. And there was like a wind alert in Pennsylvania at this airport. And they were like, it's going to be a rough landing.
So
I was
no.
like, yeah. And I was like, all right. And this plane is like fucking, it's just teetering. And I'm looking around and there are people shrieking. There are people gasping. And I'm in the back of the plane and I'm just looking around like, wow, this is really alarming.
Huh. Man, oh my God.
This doesn't seem
you
normal
finally
at all.
Fly and yeah. that happens.
But like, I didn't feel a thing. The Xanax yeah. was a miracle. Like I'm looking around just like, man, I should be scared to death right now, but I don't feel a thing.
Like,
it was
I'm
amazing.
Just vibing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just rolling with the turbulence, just yeah. riding mm-hmm. it out. Like one of those mechanical bulls.
Heck yes.
I learned that I can watch the flight attendants, and if I figured if they're not worried, then I shouldn't be worried. So yeah.
Yes. I use that as a trick too whenever there's a lot of turbulence. If the yeah. flight attendants are cool, then I'm cool.
Yeah. So yeah, that happened.
So this wasn't an airport find.
No, then. This wasn't okay. an airport find. I found this book because, well, for a couple reasons, my Audible algorithm is just completely fucked right now. The premise of this book is that, or this show is that Bridget and I like scary stuff and Brooke likes romance stuff. So, you know, scary, spooky stuff, sexy romance stuff. And I've just been getting lots and lots of thrillers and like mysteries, which are fine. I don't dislike them, but it's not exactly what we're doing here. And it's not exactly what I'm looking for. But I will type in like scary and it's like just thrillers. I'll type in like ghosts and like stuff like that. And it's like the ghost of someone's past. And like, God damn it. No, that's not what I want. So I'm going to have to start like getting recommendations off of the app and putting them in there to like reset it. So send me recommendations. Mm-hmm. So that I can get my Audible fixed. But yeah, this book was like, normally we don't like to make fun of books. We're going to make fun of this book a little bit. We're going to have a little, we're going to have some fun. We're going to have some not fun too.
You're honestly just like the bitchiest older cousin because you'll be like, usually we don't like to do this, but you've done that like 3 or 4 times by now.
I know.
But you've also said at the beginning on our first episode that, you know, if you read a book, you're going to talk about it.
If I read a book, I'm going to talk about it because I'm such a slow reader. Shelby, this is fun fact. I didn't actually learn to read until I was like in 3rd or 4th grade.
Really?
I've been an incredibly slow reader ever since. I think it's because I was nearsighted and no one knew that.
Mm-hmm.
But so I've just always been a slow reader. I've never caught up. Which is why I like listen to all of them.
Oh yeah.
And because it takes me so long, if I finish something, if I start doing them, we're finishing it and we're talking about it on the show because we don't have time to start over before it's my turn to come back up in rotation. So whether it's good or not, you know, we're in for it. So yeah, we normally don't poke fun at the books if we can help it, or maybe like a little bit here or there. Mm-hmm. But this author like wrote and finished a book. That's great. A lot of people really like her work. I went and looked at the reviews of this book afterwards because I was really perplexed. And a lot of her fans were like, man, we really love this author, but this was a miss. This was a real miss.
Ooh.
Yeah. So with that in mind, this author can apparently really get a fan base together. They're pretty famous. I've heard the name before, even though I wasn't familiar with her work. It's called None of This Is True by Lisa Jewell. So Shelby, I've sent you a...
You have the cover.
An image. Yeah. Can you describe the cover for our listeners?
So in very big letters in white, it says Lisa Jewell, a novel, None of This Is True. And it's some houses that are also, it's like inverted on top and bottom, the same like little neighborhood. I don't know, I guess like a commentary on a quiet neighborhood, I'm assuming. And let's see, do you want me to read the whole cover?
Oh, no. Well, yeah. Tell you what, yeah, why don't you do that? That'd be great.
Okay. Read by Nicola Walker and Louise Brealey, with a full cast, music, and sound design. Gloriously dark, so clever, and completely addictive. This is Lisa Jewell at the very top of her game. I haven't even read it, but I'm already laughing just from your introduction. Lisa Foley said that, by the way, not to throw her, you know, out there, but yeah. So
we're going to imagine that she didn't actually read this thing. Yeah.
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 You know, so I just saw a lot of
ARCs. So I get it. If, you know, maybe Lucy, what was her name? Lucy Foley got sent an ARC and like only got through like the first few chapters and was like, oh shit, I got to give him a blurb. I told him I'd give him a blurb. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
If you got through the first few chapters and you gave it a blurb, you're safe in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I am looking at it over Ian's shoulder right now. And the thing with me is how it's inverted with the houses on top and bottom. It reminds me of Teeth, like in that movie, Monster House or whatever. Uh-huh. It also very much to me looks like
Monster House. Yeah. That's what it looks like. Yeah.
It very much to me looks like Book of the Month books.
Yes.
They all have very specific covers.
Definitely. Yes.
We talked about it in a class that I was in, one of my graduate studies classes, and you can tell the trends with a lot of these books.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I could definitely tell probably which company that came from, because a lot of them have very, very similar fonts, setups.
Mm-hmm. And was this the same publisher as Gone Girl? Because this looks like the assignment for class was take a book you like, and the student was like, I like Gone Girl, and I'm going to make this.
It really does. Yeah, it looks, yeah, it definitely has like Gone, especially the font, the way that they did the font, it's very Gone Girl vibes.
Right. Brooke, do you have the copy over there?
Mm-hmm.
So how are we rating this book? And what's Bridget always gives us a unit of measurement here.
So dang, we already did Teeth.
We already did Teeth with Glenn Powell's Teeth. So we can't do Teeth with that.
The premise is going to revolve around birthdays a little bit. So it can be like birthdays, maybe.
Xanaxes.
Oh,
ooh,
God.
Yeah.
Look, Xanaxes. Okay, no, not Xanaxes.
I would love to continue getting that prescription for my future flights.
Yeah. What is something airport related or airplane related? The Biscoff cookies.
Ooh, how many Biscoff cookies?
Yeah, the airport cookies.
Yeah. Okay. Heck yeah.
Okay. How many airport cookies? We'll do... out of 12.
Okay.
So me looking at it, I'm going to give it higher than I usually give. I always judge harshly books by a cover. I have to go by, because most of the time the cover doesn't interest me at all. With this one, because I've read so many like airport novels and stuff, I'm going to go with like a 5 out of 12.
I think it's a good cover. I mean, it drew my eye. I listen to the entire thing because of the cover. So I'm going to give it like a 9 out of 12 for the cover.
Shelby, what would you rate it?
How many Biscoff cookies out of 12?
I'm going to go 4 out of 12 just because it doesn't draw my eye, I got to say. My eye would have glazed. If it's on a shelf, I think I would have glazed right over it.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 6 out of 12. I think, Ian, I agree with you. I read a lot of books that look like this, and that would make me think, oh, maybe this is being marketed to me in that way. But the cover overall feels sort of generic.
Yeah, it is kind of generic. That's true. Okay, we've got our... Should we write those down? We forgot to write them down the last couple of times.
Yes, so we got 4 out of 12 Biscoff cookies, 5 out of 12, 6 out of 12. And Ian, what was yours?
Mine was a 9.
A 9 out of 12.
All right.
If I knew math, I would tell you what the thing was, but...
That's okay.
So not we're a gonna, math podcast.
We're going to talk about the book, We are not going to tell you the ending on this feed, but if you do want to hear the ending of this story and our us talking about it, you can find us at patreon.com/edgingthepodcast. You guys ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's get into it. Shelby, you ready? All right,
yeah.
So one of the reasons that this book really caught my attention was in the description, and that's because this book, one of the main characters is... an absolute angel. She has chosen the most honorable, noble profession that anyone can have. That's right. She's a podcaster. So,
the best people are podcasters.
The best people. There aren't any bad podcasters.
There's
we all know
no
that.
There's no podcasters that are actively
not.
Ruining
no, there's,
everything.
Nope. They're all great. On an unrelated note, have you guys ever thought about starting a sports betting app?
I mean, it's what I've dreamt of since I was a child.
Mm-hmm. I think that we should start a sports betting app. I mean, this is just unrelated to anything, but I think we should start a sports betting app together. Shelby,
you might love that.
Do you want to get started on that, Shelby, while we're going through the book?
Yeah, I would love to.
Okay, excellent.
Scratch that, though, or maybe in addition to, what about our own crypto?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got to go hand in hand, right?
We can double that. I mean, in fact, why not do an NFT with the logo of our sports betting app?
And hear me out on that.
If
we're going to do an NFT and a cryptocurrency and it's going to be sports betting, why not virtual scratch-offs?
Oh, yeah.
As NFTs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know we're all being facetious here, but that would fuck me up.
That's the only thing we've said where I'm like, wow, I did grow up on scratchers.
Mm-hmm. I would like one additional thing. Can we market it to children? Because
I think children are
our future, thus the future of sports betting.
And they've got that sweet, sweet allowance money.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, we've got advertisers, but we don't have allowance money, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's going to tap that market. It's got to be us.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Mm-hmm. Shelby, get started on that while we're going through the book here. And we'll check back in a little bit later on. And we'll update the listeners as this is coming together. All right, Shelby, this is, you're our favorite podcaster. This is a book about podcasters, which is, you know, saying a lot because podcasters are all great. And you're our favorite one. We've rated the book. We're getting started. Mm-hmm. Our story opens with a woman named Josie and her husband. They're out for Josie's birthday. And Josie is like, she's having a time in her life, you know? She chooses this place to go for her birthday that's like a little bit younger than she's comfortable with. It's like a little bit more hip than she's comfortable with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting a little bit older, but she's, I don't know if it's a midlife crisis. She's just feeling some things, right? So she's trying some new things. It's her 45th birthday. She's going to stretch herself. She's going to enjoy herself a little bit. And this is what she wants to do. So this is what they're doing for her birthday. This is like our first clue that Josie's like trying to make some changes in her life, something that we'll see later on. And in this scene, there's also another birthday happening at this same restaurant. And that birthday is for a woman named Alex Summers. Alex is also turning 25 and she's surrounded by friends. They all look like glamorous. They look good. Josie feels like frumpy. It's a very British word for this. It's a very British book, by the way.
Mm.
It happens in London. Josie wears like almost exclusively denim everything.
Oh, Lord.
Shit you not. I am knitting with denim yarn right now.
You sure are. Holy shit. Look at that.
I'm on her side.
I love denim on denim.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I was denim raised on denim on denim. On denim.
Yeah, Canadian tuxedo is a
classic.
Yes.
Let's hang on to that denim idea. That's gonna be around a few times later on. Okay. We're gonna talk a lot about denim in this book.
I'm in.
I'm so far.
I'm telling you. Okay, we're gonna get to some things, but before we go any further, I want to. There's a content warning. I probably should have mentioned this earlier, but there's gonna be a content warning for grooming and pedophilia in this book. That's gonna be a thing that we talk about.
Not very much. Honestly though, denim on denim, being groomed, this is already, it's very much what I went through in high school.
I didn't know how much you wanted to like delve into that, but we'll
Yeah.
We'll let you take the lead on that if you feel like chiming in.
Yeah.
All right. So Josie is looking over at this other birthday party, and she's wondering what her life might have been like had she not met her husband. So just again, trigger warning, grooming, there's some statutory rape. We're not going to get into any like descriptions. We're not going to talk about stuff, but that stuff is happening, right? So just reiterating that here we go. Josie met her husband when she was 13. We don't know the age difference yet, but we know that Josie's 45 now and her husband is retired. I don't know what retirement age is in England, but it's not that young. Josie was married at 19, two babies by 23, and she felt like she missed out on some of the best years of her life because of that. And Josie wonders if it's actually Alex's birthday or if it's just like a Saturday and they're celebrating. She wonders this out loud, and her husband is seemingly kind of like not altogether there, right? Because he's old. He's up there. So we don't like it. We don't like it, right? Uncomfortable. But she wonders if she shares the exact same birthday and birth year with this like glamorous person across the restaurant and like just comparing their lives, right?
Okay, wait, I'm confused. Uh-huh. So I'm wondering if this was a slip of the tongue. You said that this other person is turning 25. Is she also turning 45?
She's also turning 45.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Oh, no. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Whoops.
No big deal.
No, thank you.
I'm here now.
This entire book would have been fucked if you hadn't said that. Thank you. So, yeah, that would make them like birthday twins. She keeps using the phrase birthday twins.
Okay.
We love having those thoughts about a stranger we've never talked to.
Just you wait. Just you wait. So, anyway, Josie looks at like Alex's life and looks at her own. She doesn't like what she sees. She notices that Alex goes to the bathroom, and Josie kind of like excuses herself to like go to the bathroom too. And they're in line together, and she like gathers up the courage and just like mentions that it's also her birthday. And she noticed that she was having a birthday party too. And the conversation is actually really, really nice. And they have this cute little interaction. Alex is very nice and friendly, but another one of her friends comes out of the bathroom and stops and talks to her in line there. And Alex is just like immediately like with her friend now. And Josie is, you know, just kind of no longer a part of this conversation. This moment like carries a lot of weight for Josie for some reason, even though Josie doesn't know why exactly. But it's clear for Alex that this is just like a fleeting thing that's going to be forgotten, right? Mm-hmm. And that also weighs mm-hmm. on Josie too. Josie knows that. Remind me to tell you all about the time that I, on the way to Chicago, stopped at a gas station and accidentally walked past a line of women into a women's restroom.
We've talked about this on the show.
Have we? Yeah. They were standing, so there was a line of like five or six women, and there was a door right next to them. So I thought that was the women's restroom, but that was actually the door that went behind the counter. They were waiting for the door at the end of the hall, but they weren't blocking that doorway. I thought the door at the end of the hall was the men's room. So I walked past all of these women and just push it open. And I am in the completely in the women's restroom. And I'm like, oh, my God. I turn around. I walk back out and they're all just staring at me. We leave town and we drive to the next town so I can pee.
I don't know if it helps or hurts for me to tell you that I have seen more than one man do this.
They don't get the...
It's like a social thing. And if you see... I will say, it matters a lot less to me if a man does it than if who I perceive like as a female presenting person does it. Because I'm like, that's a bitch. I'm like, that's on purpose.
It happened to me one time, though. I was in the Chicago airport.
Chicago. It just happens in Chicago.
And I was coming back from my honeymoon and I had a UTI and I was like sweating and praying. I was like, oh my God, I hate this so much. And I thought this woman was like, you know, sometimes you when you go to the bathroom with somebody, you'll wait by the sinks for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She was doing that. So I'm like, okay, she's waiting on somebody. So as soon as the restroom opens up, one of the stalls, I'm going there and she's like, excuse me, it was my turn. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm just like sweating and I turn away and I'm like leaned up against the wall. I'm like, you can go on ahead. My bad. But yeah.
Oh, no. Oh my God. That's miserable.
Yeah. Your story is that's awful. Yeah.
But I will say, so they're talking In line for the restroom.
Yep, they're talking in line for the restroom.
That is honestly such an intimate thing with women. Like, we become very close friends with a lot of women like that.
Yeah.
Just for the night.
Without this girl's background, her actually just walking up and being like, I noticed it was your birthday, it's my birthday too. I love that.
Yeah.
I love an interaction like that. But then if it keeps going, that's a problem. That's a real shame.
Yeah.
Well, it's about to keep going. So... You know how this carried a lot of weight for Josie, and it's just kind of a forgotten thing for Alex. Well, the next day, Josie is like Googling Alex's name, and she learns that she's a podcaster, and she starts listening to Alex's show. Alex does a show where she interviews successful women around London. Now, I don't know where this story is going, but this kind of feels like it might be like the beginning of a stalker situation. I do know where it's going. When I wrote this, I didn't know where it was going, but
like a single white female.
That's
been a real long time since I've seen that movie, but yeah, that's the, if I remember it correctly, we're getting into some stalker territory, but it's gonna, well, let's just keep moving. Let's see. So, yeah, Josie starts listening to her show and just trying to pick up things about, like, Alex's personality and her life, right, by listening to her show. And, like, yeah, we're getting into some stalker territory, but let's be honest, like, those ads aren't going to listen to themselves, right?
Yeah.
We, you know, there's a little bit going on here. Josie's doing her a favor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's really helping out.
No.
She's paying the bills.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So let's jump over to Alex's perspective. We're going to jump perspectives a lot. She wakes up that next morning and her husband is not in bed with her. When he comes home, he says that he went back out because he wasn't ready to settle in yet. And he says he ended up crashing in a hotel room by himself and they had to come in and wake him up because he was so thoroughly blacked out, which I definitely believe and completely sounds real to me. On his wife's birthday.
Wow. Yeah. On his wife's birthday.
You know, so
that'll happen.
Look, you know, you're having a little trouble sleeping. You go back out for a walk real quick, and then you just end up in a hotel, obviously by yourself.
Of course.
Right? Because who else would be there?
I've heard similar stories in my past. So, yeah. Yep.
Exactly. It's completely innocent. She's following Alex. After this totally like true and real thing, we're going to jump back over to Josie's perspective, and she's following Alex on like all of her social media now. And she notices photos of Alex's kids wearing the same school uniforms that her kids used to wear back when they were in school. So Alex's kids are younger. You know, she had the kids older, than Josie did. So Josie's kids are already out of school. Alex's kids are currently at the same school that that Josie's kids went to previously, right? So they weren't there. They didn't overlap, but there's like another connection between the two. And Josie is beginning to believe that this is like, it's all meaning something, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I bet it does. Yep. Go for it, Josie. Let's just do it. It all means something.
It does. So next, we're going to switch back to Alex's perspective again. And she is outside somewhere. I'm not really sure what she's doing. I'm sure I just missed this while I was listening and like driving. But I know that she is just outside on a sidewalk having second thoughts about her husband.
And, that's, you know, so real. That's
which,
so
yeah. Sometimes
it
just
really
need,
is. It's very real.
Sometimes you just need to go outside to have some second thoughts about your husband. And all of a sudden, Alex notices someone who looks familiar. She's wearing a lot of denim. It's Josie, right? Josie is just happens to be walking by. What a coincidence.
Oh, no.
So, this is great because now that the two have like spotted each other again. Josie mentioned that she had a question for Alex, something about them being birthday twins, and this is going to require them sitting down for coffee or lunch or something, which is a totally normal length of time to talk about your birthday that you share with somebody, right? So Alex tells Josie she's in a hurry. She's not able to like stop. Josie kind of like bullies her into meeting back up with her at like a predetermined time and place. And Alex,
I've met Josie's before, and this is like, oh my God. Yeah. I feel like I'm back there. Ugh.
Yeah. Alex is getting like a little skeeved out, but she like kind of shakes it off. And you know how podcasters are, earnest, innocent souls,
so
just
true.
Like the best people, really.
Always.
So down to earth.
Yeah. So Alex agrees. And next, we have this scene where Josie picks up, she's back at home now, and Josie picks up a photo of her children. They're like sweet and small and innocent and, you know, the way they used to be. And she wonders how things ended up the way that they did. And we're not entirely clear on what this means, but we get the impression that things aren't going well with the kids. Like maybe they're like estranged or something like that. We know that one of them ran away at the age of like 16 or 17 and the other still lives at home, but like never comes out of her room. Like even waits to go to the bathroom when the house is empty. So, knowing what we know about, Josie's husband, we don't like that. We don't like that at all. Okay, so there's another perspective shift, and we hear audio from a podcast, but it's not Alex's podcast. It's a man's voice hosting a podcast, and the podcast is called Birthday Twin, and it sounds like it's about Alex and Josie, and according to the host, we're about to hear two things. We're about to hear about some murders, and we're about to hear some ads. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. And Shelby, how's that sports betting app coming along?
You know, it's coming along. I'm really, you know, quantifying whether we should target the children more or the elderly.
Ooh, the elderly. Yeah.
You know, the elderly have their own credit cards and a lot of time on their hands.
They've got pensions and they've got like retirement accounts too. Oh, man, that's great.
Everyone's scamming them already. Like, I feel like it's so easy to come up against one who's already trained.
That's already tapped out. Yeah, that's true. That is true. And, you know, their kids want that inheritance. So some of them have those eagle-eyed little grandchildren who are just taking care of them or whatever. So, yeah, let's stick with the children.
That's a great reason to go after the kids. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. While we were on the break, we were talking about bathroom etiquette. Yeah, and... I was going to tell you about this like weird thing that happened to me in a Kroger bathroom. I travel a lot for work, so I'm like using gas station bathrooms and stuff a lot, you know?
And Kroger's our grocery store.
Yeah, Kroger's East a grocery Coast, store. I think. And it's like Midwest and East, yeah. So I'm standing there, and this guy walks up to the urinal next to me. There's only two urinals. He's not breaking any rules here. And... you know the urinal rules, right?
You got to leave space. Yeah. You got to leave at least one between y'all.
If it's there, it's customary to leave space. But if it's not there, then you do what you have to do, you know? So he walks up next to me and he just asks, you know, something like, what's the insurance situation like? Or something like that. And I was like, what? And he's like, just like looking straight ahead. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he just like points at his like thing and he's like on the phone and not talking to me at all.
Oh my God.
What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Honestly.
And he looks at me like I'm like, oh, like what are you doing talking to me? And I'm like, bro, you asked me about my insurance situation. What does that even mean? We're in the bathroom, sir.
That's everybody with a Jabra. I bet it was those early fucking Bluetooth headsets too.
Yeah. Now there's a better one. Those. It was big. It was a bigger one. Mm-hmm. There's another one that's worse, and this one was kind of my fault and his fault. I don't know. Depends on whether
if
or not.
If it's the one that you're talking about, it's a lot your fault too.
Well, no. So I'm at a gas station, and I walk in, I go to the bathroom, and I open the door, and inside there is.
It is your fault.
There's a man sitting on the toilet, and he, like, yells at me. And I don't know if the lock was broken. If the lock was broken, nobody's fault. If the lock wasn't broken, totally his fault. What happens next? Absolutely my fault.
It's your fault.
So I'm like, ah, and I jump, and I turn around. And on my way out, just out of habit, leaving a room, I just hit the lights.
Oh, my God.
And he's yelling at me, and I'm horrified. I'm not turning back. I'm not going back for him. And I walk. I don't get what I came for. I just walk right back out to my car.
No, you have to leave the state at that point. Like, oh my God.
The best part is that as I'm walking away, Don't Dream It's Over, my crowded house is playing over the gas station speakers.
I think we've told this story too, but it's because I feel like you could have just done the way my dad would wake my older brother up every morning was he would just open the door a little bit, reach his hand in and flip the light on. And then Eric would throw something at the wall. I feel like you could have done that for him, but you just said, don't dream, it's over.
That's so fucking funny.
No, I wasn't going back for him at that point.
I can't wait until we have the capability to like make a film or a TV show because that scene is happening.
It's so funny. Oh my God.
I feel like I'm tense right now just thinking about it, just talking about
You have a lot of stories like that, Ian.
It's because I work out in the, I worked for a moving company for a long time. So like you're just in a lot of gas stations because there's nowhere to put your lunch in a building without electricity and stuff like that. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love that. That's why. You're in a lot of gas stations because there's nowhere to put your lunch.
Well, no, but you just like picking up stuff, you know? Yeah. But anyway, so. Oh, back to Josie. Let's talk about Josie. Okay. All right. So we're going to go back in time a little bit to like when we left off, there was that male voice in a podcast talking about Alex and Josie, right? And the podcast was called Birthday Twins. So that's sometime in the future, we're assuming, right? Mm-hmm, after some shit has happened, because we know there's going to be some murders. And yes. We're going back in time now from that little teaser. And it's the day that Alex agreed to meet Josie. Remember when she kind of bullies her into going out to lunch? Josie tells Alex that she's listened to her podcast about successful women, and Josie has a pitch for Alex. Instead of doing a show on women who are already successful, what about tracking a woman who is about to change her life and follow her like through the process? Now, we've all started podcasts before, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's some pretty big problems with this premise, right? Number one, if it doesn't happen, you don't have a show. And you've put like a whole lot of money, time, and energy into this thing that doesn't happen. It's not clearly defined. There's no metrics for it. There's no like narrative, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is an absolutely like dog shit idea, right?
Well, and someone's approaching you to do all the work. Someone who is like admitting like, my life's not going great.
Yeah.
But I think that you should do a bunch of work because I'm going to change that.
Right.
Yeah. Have you ever wanted to follow around a huge loser? I'm not going to be one for long though. Just stay with me. Stay with me. Yeah.
There you go.
If it was pitched like that, though, like if somebody was really mean, like if someone was like a mean girl about it, if they were like, this loser wants me to make a podcast, I would listen the fuck out of that.
So Alex agrees that this is like a bad idea, right? But again, I don't know why. Like she decides that she's gonna like think about it. Okay. And I don't know if she's just trying to get out of the room or what, you know, but this is what she comes to. She says she's gonna think about it. Now again, also if this thing doesn't come to fruition, like you don't have an income, right?
Mm-hmm.
Alex is like a freelance podcaster. She doesn't have a job outside of that. She's making her living with it. If she's gonna put all this work into something and it doesn't happen, there's no money. Like that's a catastrophe. Anyway, eventually she decides that, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it. Let's go for it. Let's do this really bad idea. So I don't expect the author to know the ins and outs of like the podcasting industry. And also like if everything were realistic all the time, it's boring, right? We all do our shows. We love what we do, but it's work and work is just boring, right?
You gotta
take a little bit of liberty, so I'm gonna be forgiving like in that sense, but also like
so I'm trying to follow this jumping perspectives always like
I know
trips me up. One of the things that I'm wondering about, so this podcast idea she has, is it kind of like Queer Eye for the straight guy? Where
I never watched that. I don't know.
Okay. Because that's what it kind of feels like. Is she going to fix her life? Oh, what was that show called? So, it was Somebody Fix My Life.
Yeah. Or it's like, you know, you have like a hitch situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find a reference you're going to know.
Yeah. if that's what Queer Eye is, then yes, it's sort of like that.
So, My Fair Lady, Eliza Doolittle.
you're really just hitting all my demos. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So she's going to fix her life and make a podcast about fixing Josie's life.
Yeah. This is going to be interesting enough that thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people are going to want to listen to it. That's the pitch. And it's just not, right?
And this is Josie's idea.
Like, good for Josie, yeah. But it's just not, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right.
The thing that I'm really confused by is, like, not to fix this book, but, like, why not just have this girl's podcast be, like, failing or something? Like, I just, like, she has a successful show, and she's like, yeah, I'll stop doing that.
Well, so in fairness, because I didn't think this was, like, particularly useful information, she is, like, that show is ending.
Okay.
That one makes sense then. Okay.
Yeah. That will be coming to an end. But she has, like, she's well-known enough that she's, if this were the real world, she's definitely getting offers. Right.
Yeah.
Like, Yeah. So, the next step is that Josie is invited to Alex's house where her studio is, and they do a little, like, test interview. And Alex is just asking some, like, perfunctory questions about Josie's childhood. And this is, again, where we're going to remind our listeners of those content warnings at the top. There's going to be some grooming happening here. Josie mentions that her husband and she have been together since she was 15, which I guess is when the
age of consent,
the abuse began, right?
Oh,
Well, I don't know what I don't know what the age of consent is in England. It is not in practice or the real world anywhere near what this age difference is. She's 15 and her husband was 42. Now, for reference, I am 42. I am currently 42 years old.
So at one point you said 13. So is she lying?
She met him at 13 and the
relationship began at 15.
I'm going to call it abuse. The abuse began at 15. Yeah. Now Josie calls it a relationship. I'm not going to call it that.
Yeah.
But that's when this began. So, this isn't like, you know, a 21-year-old and a 17-year-old. This is hardcore pedophilia, right?
Yeah.
This is not that's okay either, but, you know, it's not the same thing as
No,
as
I get what
stuff.
You're saying. Like, they're not even on the same planet when it comes to stages of life. Yeah.
Exactly. So, Josie can, like, read it on Alex's face, and she starts trying to, like, explain it away, but she's talking herself around to the realization that she's been groomed, because Josie has never actually had anyone ask her about it or give her kind of that look, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, now, you know, we've encountered her husband a couple times in the story, and we knew he was older. At this point, he's, like, generally, like, pleasant, right? I kind of honestly forgot about the age difference part a little bit until this came up in the interview. But as she's describing how they met to Alex, it gets really creepy. He was a handyman in, like, the complex where she lived growing up. And when she was a kid, he would, like, you know, come over to, like, fix things around the apartment. And there was just always something wrong that, like, needed access through, like, a roof or a wall access in their particular place, right? And he was just always finding a way to be around. He kind of just, like, wormed his way in there, and he just, like, happened to show up on Josie's 14th birthday party, and her, you know, mom being, like, none the wiser, is like, yeah, have some cake, hang out, have, you know, like, whatever. We're gonna learn later on that he was actually dating her mom for a little while.
That makes more sense.
Before this began. So, one thing that we know about him, his name is Walter. He already had a family and kids, and those kids were already older than Josie was. So, just totally different stages in life. Very creepy. We don't like it. Well, Alex is like, or we're going to jump to a new scene, and Alex is taking a field trip form to her kid's school. And while Alex is dropping off this form, she remembers that Josie had mentioned her kids had gone to the same school as hers, right? So she asks the school secretary, who's been there forever, if she remembers these kids, because she's trying to get some, like, idea about Josie's life, mm-hmm. trying to, like, gather some information mm-hmm. that isn't just firsthand. And, you know, she gives her some vague answers. She tries not to get too specific because I don't know what the laws are in England, but you can't just talk about other people's kids to other parents, right?
I guess it's kind of different because they're grown up, but it's still pretty weird.
Yeah, it's weird. So one of those kids is just like a sweet little girl, very kind. Everyone liked her. And the other one had like a lot of behavioral problems. She would be violent. She would like turn over desks and stuff and fly into these rages. That was the younger sister. Hmm. The older sister was like the sweet, very quiet one, right? There's more to come about the kids later on, but as we're learning more, like in the background of the story, Josie is still stalking Alex, like walking by her house and creeping around on her social media. But Alex is also kind of like creeping on Josie, right? She's asking her school secretary about her kids. And these two are starting to kind of get into a little bit of a toxic spiral, right? So there's more recording of Josie's story and another clip from the finished product, which isn't hosted by Alex. It's that other show with a male voice, because of course it is. And in this finished podcast, there's a snippet of Alex and Josie from Alex's recording session. But like, why isn't Alex there? Why isn't she on the show? We don't know. We're going to find out later. In this clip, Josie explains what happened when she was 15 and when she and her current husband got together, when she became his victim. She says when their relationship started, I say when she became his victim. And I'm not going to talk about what happened because it makes me feel gross. But the short version is that, like, Josie gets into a fight with her mom and, like, goes down to the handyman's little office. And that's where I'm going to leave it. Ever since Josie has been coming over to record, like, weird little things have been missing from Alex's house. It's like a bottle of hand soap from the bathroom, little like, she notices that some like espresso pods are missing, which I'm guessing is like a K-cup or something. And now look, we all know that, like, when you're in podcasting, it's proper podcast etiquette to take something from your host's house, right?
Like, I have so much shit missing here because people just take as they come.
Well, and Shelby, we have your cat right now, so you know, like,
I mean,
it's
you
just,
can see
it's
she's
just
not
normal.
Back there.
No,
she's not back there. So.
Exactly. So it's just normal, right? But anyway, like, you know, going through some stuff here, it just gets uncomfortable, right? We're in a really uncomfortable part of the story. A few other things happen, like, really in short order. Alex and Josie are getting more and more obsessed with each other. Alex is also stalking Josie's house, but she's, like, less obsessed with Josie and trying to investigate, like, the story. Josie is trying to, like, worm her way into Alex's life, right? There's a flashback where Josie is telling Alex about Walter's early relationship with her. And, like, you know, again, it's just gross. On the Ring cam next to Alex's front door, Alex's husband, the one who keeps, like, disappearing in the night, notices, like, that a notification comes in and Josie's standing out front. And while she's standing out front and, like, no one's coming to the door, she just, like, reaches in their trash and grabs some leaves or something and then, like, takes off. So Alex's husband tells Alex about it. And she texts Josie, and Josie's just like, oh, I was in the neighborhood just stopping by, but, like, didn't respond to Alex asking, like, what she took out of the trash. And there's this, like, dinner party where Alex, like, invites Josie and Walter over. His name is Walter, by the way. Yeah, and she wants to get a feel for Walter, and this is how she decides to do it. The whole thing goes, like, really badly because Alex's husband gets drunk and, like, disappears for the night. So she's alone with
as
these
you
two.
Do.
Yeah. God. After she's like, I really don't want to be alone with this pedophile and this lady who's, like, creeping me out. Could you please not go on a bender and end up in a hotel room tonight, and he's like, sure, and then does anyway.
We gotta put a leash on that dude.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like want there to be a villain, but the more I hear, I'm like, they're just girls. Like, they're all just girls. Yeah. I'm like, they are just really dealing with their shit at each mm-hmm. other.
So this weird thing happens where, like, I don't know where Josie ends up, like, going somewhere, and Walter, like, gets Alex alone and is like telling her that Alex is, or that Josie is, like, more conniving than she seems. Uh-huh. And Josie is just, like, standing on the other side of the door of, like, wherever they are, and she's, like, listening in. But, like, it's going to turn out that he's kind of right. Like, not giving him any credit,
I mean,
but he's kind of
right. I already think he is right. Like, yeah. She stole leaves from their trash.
Right.
Like, sometimes the world comes together to give somebody exactly what they deserve.
Yeah.
And my little jump in with there when, Ian, you were like, oh, yeah, you can jump in at any point with, like, related stuff. I'm not going to talk about any of my experiences, but I came to this realization the other day. My mom got pregnant at 13 by what I believe was her dad's manager or like coal company owner. Mm-hmm. And her dad wasn't in her life. So it was just, it was a really big age difference. And then she also had another child with a man who was quite a bit older than her. My mom, I found out, and this is going to sound crass, but I believe she was the jailbait final boss because she stalked these men. Even when she couldn't drive, she asked people to drive her. She would stalk them. She would terrify them.
That's
amazing. That's what they deserved. I'm glad she did it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hell yes.
She would be. My aunt was like, she would wake me up in the middle of the night and be like, "We got to find out where he lives. He won't talk to me."
Honestly,
and I'm like,
"That's what you fucking get."
Yeah.
So sometimes you get exactly what you deserve. I'm glad his wife is conniving, and he's probably saying that too because he's like, "There's two sides."
He's like, it's so weird she's like this. I raised her. Like, take some responsibility.
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh my fucking God.
So when Josie and Walter get home, there's this fight. And he tells her that Alex is just using her for the podcast, which is, like, also kind of true. So, so far, we've got this stalking situation going on. There's this dynamic we've been, like, following between Josie and Alex. But something wild is about to happen. And that something wild is another ad break. All right. All right, we're back, and it's time for part two of this book. Surprise, this book has parts. I'm always surprised when a book has parts.
Lots
because
of dynamics in this book.
I know.
Switching narrators, right? Multiple podcasts.
So I listen to the book, so I never actually see like the part one on the beginning, and I'm always surprised when there's a part two. So, part two, here we come. Part two opens up with Alex waking up, thinking her husband is trying to get back into the house after going out and just doing whatever he does. So she goes to the front door, but it's not her husband. It's Josie showing up at Alex's house in the middle of the night.
Oh, Jesus, Josie.
So Josie is distraught. She says that Walter attacked her, but then she kind of says that she attacked him and he defended himself. And then she kind of says that he like attacked their daughter. So there's lots of stories going on. And like, you know, you're in the midst of something traumatic like this. It's hard to maybe like articulate exactly what happened. Maybe it doesn't make perfect sense the first time you try and say it, whatever. You know, I get that. But, you know. Mm-hmm. Also, the whole thing just feels fishy, right? So Josie kind of like worms her way into staying with Alex for a week. Mm. And
A week.
So.
Wait, so Walter attacked their daughter and she just leaves the daughter and stays with Alex for a week?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Just making sure
this
I get all these pieces.
This book might be about my mother. Oh, God.
So now, like, so they agree on, like, a week, letting her stay until Saturday. And Saturday is the day that, like, they've got family coming in. Alex's family's coming to visit. So she can have the guest room until then. And then there's, like, a hard out, right? Got to be gone on Saturday. So during this whole thing, there's a lot more of these clips from that podcast being played with like the perspective of hindsight. And some of them are like this mysterious male voice and some snippets of interviews between Josie and Alex. I'm skipping over most of those because like, you know, they're just in there. There's nothing like of relevance really for just like, you know, synopsizing the story. Is that a word? I don't know if that's a word. But one thing that we do get is that we know Josie's daughter spends her time in a room playing video games, and that she never comes out of the house unless it's empty, but she's streaming with other players around the world. And there's this interview with one of those other streamers that was on the, you know, other end of, I guess, the line, whatever, you know, whatever it is. While she was streaming on one particular night. And he says that on this night, he was playing with Erin, the oldest daughter, and he hears a commotion and then a scream. And then Erin runs off screen and doesn't come back. They don't know what to do. It's like a couple that are playing together in their, you know, own house with Erin. Right?
Yeah.
So they call their own police department. I think they're in Canada or something like that. And the police don't know what to do. They don't know how to find this person. They try to reach out to the platform, which is called Glitch, by the way.
Nice.
So they're able to narrow down her IP address to somewhere in London, but that's it. And it becomes kind of this like viral investigation in like the streaming community, like what happened. And then news breaks, and we don't know what that news is yet. They're leaving us hanging here, but something comes up and it kind of makes sense with this whole little situation. There's another clip where Josie talks about one of her daughter's friends that used to come over and study. Now, if you're like me and you've been reading this entire thing, thinking this pedophile has kids of his own now and he's living with small children, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, remember, there's two daughters, Erin and Roxy. Roxy has a friend named Brooke. Brooke Ripley, by the way, just very British.
That's cool.
Walter, according to Josie, starts grooming Brooke, and Josie isn't aware of it until their other daughter, Erin, finds out and tells her. This is when Roxy runs away, and it's like at this point, like it's been like years since this has happened, and Josie says that she's never confronted Walter about it until the other night when they got into this big fight and she showed up on Alex's door, and that's why she's here. Now, it's a little weird that nobody knows where Roxy, that daughter that ran away, is. Like, she hasn't turned up like, at all anywhere. That's a little weird. And Alex looks into Roxy's friend, Brooke. Alex goes like looking for her, and she finds something. Brooke is also missing.
Oh, good. That's great.
So
awesome.
She's been missing since about the time that Roxy ran away. All this stuff happened right about the same time.
What a coinky dink.
It's crazy, right? So Alex isn't sure if she should continue with the podcast or not. But she decides to like buckle down and just push through it and try to get to the other side of it. And she desperately wants Josie out of her house. They sit down to record, and Josie tells her more stories that just like aren't making sense. One morning, Alex takes the kids to school while Josie's husband and Josie are like left home alone. And Alex's husband starts prodding around. He doesn't like Josie at all, right? He's completely creeped out by her. He wants her out like right now. Alex and her husband like have that hard deadline of Saturday. This is still like a couple days before then. It's tense. Like, they clearly don't like each other. And Josie just like, I don't know. She just starts stewing, right? It's just real messy. Later, while Alex and her husband are out, Josie goes into their bedroom and starts going through their closet.
Yeah.
So in this scene, like,
as you do.
Yeah, I would expect nothing less.
We're going to come back to this scene in the Patreon section, but what we want to remember is this. Like, at first, Josie wants to sneak in and just try on Alex's shoes and clothes. Which coincidentally is why Bridget doesn't let me like dog sit anymore, which is silly. I don't think I've actually ever dog sat for you.
I don't think so.
Anyway, Josie gets like the idea to start going through Alex's husband's pockets. And while she's doing that, she finds a few like incriminating objects. One is this like It looks like a little baggie with some like coke residue in it. Another is a bar napkin with something written on it, but it's indecipherable. And I want you to remember that she found this thing and that napkin was like indecipherable, right? Josie gets like really aggravated that he was like prodding at her about when she was leaving, and she's like replaying the argument in her mind. You know, like a shower argument, like when you just like you go back and you're like winning this thing in your head, even though you totally didn't in real life, you know?
Or out loud if you're extra crazy like I am.
Even better.
Yeah.
So Josie comes up with this really brilliant idea for how to push Alex's husband away, and she does it by throwing to an ad break. Okay, we're back. And when we left off, Josie was trying to sabotage Alex and her husband's marriage, which shouldn't be too hard, honestly. But moving on from that for the moment, Alex like plunges into really trying to like expedite the recording sessions with Josie to get this thing wrapped up and move on with her life. Once Josie's interviews are finished and Saturday comes along and Josie leaves the house, Alex is going to be done with her. She doesn't want anything to do with her again. She's just trying to knock this thing out, right? So while they're recording, Josie tells us another story about her, about the night that she showed up on her door, on Alex's doorstep, right? The new story also doesn't make sense with the previous ones. And Alex like confronts Josie about her daughters, how they were like potentially being abused by Josie's husband and Josie not doing anything about it, about how she just ignored the way that Brooke and Roxy disappeared. So Josie is like, oh, well, that just reminds me of this other story, right? And this is how it actually happened. So like every time Alex like pokes a hole in this story, Josie's like trying to fill that hole. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like she's trying to like turn around to be like,
yeah,
she wants Alex to like her and think she's a hero or something, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this one, like it's about like how she hits Walter on the back of the head with something and like knocks him out and then gets Erin, that daughter that still lives at home, and like takes off with her, right? So she's totally rewriting the story here, and all it just doesn't feel real, and it just doesn't like feel real at all. And also, like, where's Erin?
Yeah.
Like, where's the daughter? So if they left together and she got her out of there, like, where is she, right? In their next recording session, Josie tells the story again, and she says this whole fight happened around like 9 or 10 at night, but it's 3 a.m. when she shows up on Alex's door. What happened in those hours in between? Remember, Alex is recording alone at home with Josie and pushing her pretty hard on these questions, which must be pretty uncomfortable, right? We don't get any like satisfactory answers, and the entire project has, you know, this really unsatisfying ending. But Saturday comes and Josie packs up and leaves, and everything seems to be going back to normal. And this actually kind of made me happier about like the way this story went, because if this project worked, I would have been so pissed, you know, because like that's just not how the world works. So like the fact that it doesn't, I'm like, okay, well, this isn't like so far fetched anyway. This guy, this podcaster made a bad call and it didn't happen, right? So Alex's family is coming over, and for some reason, Alex's husband has made plans with his friends that night.
Sure.
But you know, he's promised to be home by midnight.
He'll stick to that. Like, he's a man of his word.
Yeah,
so.
Like midnight, sure. You know, like, with the nieces and nephews coming over, that's a reasonable time to be home.
Yeah,
like,
we'll just hold dinner.
Right? It's so funny because, like, instead of just being like, so this is like, this coming home at midnight thing is like, the vibe of it is like, this is an improvement. Things are coming together, right?
Yeah.
Instead of like, oh, hey guys, I blew it and forgot that I had plans with my wife's family. Anyway, let's just like hang out next weekend. It's like, well, we can stay out until well past everyone's asleep, right? That's a compromise.
Alex's husband, you know, it's so funny. Alex is a podcaster and her husband reminds me so much of my ex-husband. I'm like, it's like, did this author follow me around for a little bit without the stalker part? You know?
I mean, maybe though,
I didn't do this on purpose. I promise. Oh no.
Oh no. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
As we're talking, that's really, okay. Okay.
We're all relating to this book a lot more than Ian thought.
Yeah, we are. Yeah,
we really are.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Ian's like, I brought this not awful book, but I brought this book that's very problematic. And we're all like, you mean our lives?
Our lives? Yeah.
All right. So Alex's husband is going out with the guys, right? And as he's leaving the house, he starts walking toward the subway station. I don't know why, but I just don't want to call it a tube station. It just sounds, I don't know.
The tube.
To the tube. Yeah. So he's walking to the subway station. And as he's leaving, a figure steps out from between some buildings and slinks in behind him with the sidewalk traffic. It's Josie, and she is following him. Hmm. And that's where we're going to leave it for the main feed. Stay tuned for reactions at the end. This is None of This is True by Lisa Jewell. You can find it anywhere you find books. And if you want to hear us talk about the rest of the book with Shelby, and you want to learn what happens next, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/edgingthepodcast because edging was taken. All right. Now, Brooke, Bridget, Shelby, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm so ready.
All right, here we go.
I'm so ready.
So just no good people. Just no good people. This person forgot their underwear. Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah. What could have possibly fucking happened here?
And it's a denim mask, though.
It's
What?
Yeah, anyway, that's the book. I fucking hated it. What do you guys think?
Okay.
I'm so fucking confused. We're back to the regular stream now, I guess.
Well, let's jump back in. Ready?
Are you sure you read this book?
I read
it. And it's not a fever dream you had?
I read the book.
Are you sure you read it and it wasn't like missing the ending? Because that was not an ending. Like,
I was going to say pages are ripped out, but it was an audiobook.
Yeah. It's an audiobook.
It was an audiobook. I know.
God.
Okay.
I listened to most of it while I was driving, and there were no long sections that I fell asleep driving, so I don't think I missed it.
I think, personally, there are a lot of things that go into any kind of production. And I think similar to like when we really pan actors for bad performances, I'm like, now hang on. That's sort of how I feel about writers.
That's a lot of writing, yeah.
This is an editor problem. Like, it is crazy to me that this book in this structure made it to publication. Like, I can believe a version of the story where you're like, you're an author on a deadline.
Yeah.
You had a lot of ideas. Also, it is such a red flag that this takes place during COVID because I feel like a lot of people were really trying to do that.
Yeah.
And it was written during COVID and it's just like, come on.
We did it. Shelby, you were in that episode.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. The whole way that this book doesn't come together, I'm like, no, it's unacceptable that the publisher published this.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a non-ending. It's an incomplete book. This author should have had it sent back and there should have been more time put into it, or it should have been scrapped. Like, that's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
There's potential there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
But I think ultimately what makes the book, because you've brought up how it's problematic, there should have been some justification for Josie.
That got through so many hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, because she can be a complicated person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Some of the worst villains are victims. But
yeah.
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 But for everybody to be like, she was, I mean, it's also similar to why Lolita hasn't had a good film adaptation.
That's what I've been thinking of that the whole time is Lolita. Yeah. It's like she wanted to write her own Lolita, but like you said, it's never had a good film adaptation because it's like people don't really get it. And it feels like that's what this author that happened here too. It's like she read Lolita and did the wrong interpretation, just like so many other people have had. like, yeah, you're right. The little girl was the one who was the temptress, you know? And it's like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just feel like I need to say it one more time. You can't trick a non-pedophile into being a pedophile. You just can't. No, doesn't happen.
You can't.
And like, I think it needs to be said that you should justify perspective switching more, especially in a story like this, because why on earth would you give up your right to having one unreliable narrator in a story like this?
Exactly.
Like, that's part of why Lolita works. That's a really good example. Lolita is partially satirical, and the way mm-hmm. that it works is that you don't get to know what this yeah. child thinks. You are mm-hmm. only in the brain of the person who is a pedophile. And so, yes. like, it is up to you to remember that. And mm-hmm. when you take that context away, it's like, okay, so now we just have a lot of unreliable narrators. I have no mm-hmm. idea what's going on. And it doesn't come to any kind of head.
It doesn't. Yeah. Nothing. I don't even need books to be, like, satisfying. But this was, like, just perplexing. Like, it, mm-hmm. some of those elements of the ending really felt incredibly rushed and thrown. It literally feels like she had her notes app open. Like, okay, this is kind of what I was planning for the ending. And I just got to throw them in there because this shit's due tomorrow and I got to redo my kitchen. So yeah. I need this money, you know?
Yeah.
And I have to say again, you know, like there's a lot of people that love this author and it sounds like that she's done a lot of great work. This just mm-hmm. isn't one of them, you know, this yeah. just isn't it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There, a book I may talk about it. I may not. It's not necessarily horror, but it is.
Well, neither is this.
A young adult book with a lot of perspective switches about a murder. And it's one of those things where they're all unreliable because it's all mm-hmm. people talking about a murder. I think that's something that you can do well.
Yeah.
And of course, there are going to be people who blame the victim in a lot of sense. But
for sure,
it's your job as an author to kind of put it out there like, hey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that a 13-year-old can trick
anybody.
Her stepdad, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that that's right. Like, the thing is, it's not, you as an author are not responsible for the way that people interpret your work. However, mm-hmm. you are responsible for the things you'd like directly say.
Yep, you sure are. When you literally say it, it does become yeah. your responsibility.
And it feels like we're way more in that territory here. And I think mm-hmm. also, like, I think people get really into, and we're all guilty of this too, like, you just want to do, you read something, maybe a book where there's a lot of perspective shifts or whatever, and you're like, I want to try that. I want to, like, figure that out. And, like, man, I'd get a new editor if I was her. I'd just be like, I don't think this person has my best interests at heart.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
It's no clown in the cornfield.
No, it's no clown in the cornfield.
Yeah. What do we think? We rated this book in the beginning.
So I did count together the average. We gave it a 24 out of 48 total.
Wow. Okay. That was my vote doing a lot of that work, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. So that was just on the cover alone.
That was on the first impression.
So I'm going to move mine. I think I was the one who said 5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to move mine to... We don't have any Biscoff cookies here, y'all.
Yeah.
0 out of 12 Biscoffs for me.
I'm gonna change mine, I think from a 6 to a 3, because this book had a lot of potential, kid, you know? Mm-hmm. A lot of potential.
I'll do a 0.5, actually.
Yeah. I'm gonna give it 3 because it really had me until it didn't. So yeah. I wanna give credit where credit is due.
Yeah, I think that I'm going to do the same. I was a 4. I'm going to move it just down to a 3 just because it would have hooked. I feel like if I had read it, I'd been like, okay, that was a wild ride and I didn't like the ending, but like it had me for a while there. So I can't say it didn't entertain me at all. So yeah.
I'm going to go from a 9 to a 4, only because it's about podcasters, and we have 4 podcasters in the room here, and
that's true.
The 4 podcasters in the room are the only redeeming factor of having read this book, because we all got to hang out together.
That's my vote.
So now we've moved to a total of 24 out of 48 Biscoff cookies to 10.5 out of 48 Biscoff cookies.
Still too high.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that has been... Another episode of Edging. Wow.
Be sure to check Shelby out if you don't already, but if you know us, you probably know her.
Shelby, tell us where to find you again.
You can find me, if you want to find me personally, you can find me at Shelby B. Novak on all the socials. But if you want to find my shows, it's the Bloody Disgusting Podcast or Be Disgusting Pod on the socials and Scare You to Sleep on the socials. And both the podcasts you can find wherever you get your podcasts.
All right.
Excellent.
Cool. Well, we'll see you next week. Love you.
Mwah.